Good evening, everyone. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters, and we're having a revisit with a wonderful paradigm shifter tonight. And her friend Lorna, we haven't been able to bring her back in, but this is all about a new book, a novel called Becoming Indigo. And tonight's guest is Tara Taylor, who is actually the intuitive and has her own intuitive business and reputation and all of that. And I think it's a fictionalized story of your life. Is it, Tara?
Yes, it is. That's correct. So it's what we call like a nice 50-50 split.
Oh, 50-50. So it is fictionalized, though, eh?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
But I really enjoyed this book. I enjoyed the first one, which was called Through Indigo Eyes, right?
Yes, and Through Indigo's Eyes was kind of like the beginning leading into Becoming Indigo. So it's the sequel, which is the beauty about it.
Yeah, and it's really, I found it quite rich and quite gritty. And I just whipped it open just before we started our conversation. And there's a section where you, supposedly, or you fictionalized you, meets Annabelle. And she says, I'm in your life to help you get on your path. And I just thought, isn't that a perfect line to tell people how so many whispers or so many suggestions or so many plans come to us through our relationship with other people, right?
That's right. And what's beautiful is that when we talk about the 50-50 split, so we say, you know, Indigo is based on me, her characteristics, her personality, all of that. It's like we joke, we say Indigo Russell, a.k.a. Tara Taylor. So Lorna really grabbed my personality and the experiences and who I am and put that into Indigo.
Right. Oh, that's
and then
great.
With and Annabelle, she's actually based on my real mentor, Cindy, who's now passed away. And she owned a store called Annabelle's Angel Store. So that's real.
Okay.
So Cindy is in Annabelle / Cindy is a real based on a real person, but because she's crossed over, we were able to use her. And it was beautiful in the experience because Lorna talks about, you know, when I would talk about Cindy and my experiences and, you know, everything that she taught me and Lorna would laugh and say she'd be running on the treadmill and all of a sudden she could, you know, hear Cindy and she goes, I don't know what's going on with me, but all of a sudden I'm hearing things.
Yeah, because I was going to say to you, did Cindy show up as far as writing the book?
Did she ever?
Oh,
you know,
wonderful.
And that was her personality. Yes.
Oh, and she's probably, is she really? Yes, she is. She's really overjoyed that you're writing this story, right?
That's right. And she was definitely behind this whole series and the big push. And she's the reason why I do what I do. And she really helped me hone in and how to trust my intuition and how to deal with what I was seeing and hearing. And where before I was kind of like a lost moose, you know, here's Canada for you, but a lost moose. And not really knowing, you know, why one time, sometimes it was on, sometimes it wasn't. It would just be so sporadic. So she taught me how to harness it, work with it, understand what I was receiving, and being able to relay it to others.
I love that. Tell me this. I'm also an intuitive, and you know that.
Yes, I love it.
Yeah. You have a style of receiving messages that's very unique. Do you want to talk a bit about that? Like, what happens when you're starting to, you're getting a perception that you want to use, but you don't know the code yet?
Well, when I was younger, it's kind of, as you know, we evolve and change. We're ever-changing beings. Beautiful is that we're all perfectly imperfect, right?
Yeah, or as an intuitive, as soon as you count on this style, it changes.
Right, it keeps evolving. When I was younger, I would used to get the pulsating feeling right in the third eye.
Right.
So right between your eyebrows. And I used to get this sort of like pulsating. And it's almost like I felt like I was spinning. Mm-hmm. And then it was like almost like I would get these. Now, that's if, depending on who, what was happening or what was around me, I would either get snapshots or visions, or I would physically see spirit. And that was normal for me. As I laugh and I say, I thought everybody did this until the age of 7, and my bubble got burst. You know, and it was kind of a joke about, I think, even our last call when we were with you last summer and we were talking about it. So in the beginning, I had a lot more physical reactions, but over the, you know, God, I would say 13 years that I've been reading for, coming on 14 years that I've been reading for people in the public, mm-hmm. not just for family and friends, it's changed where, you know, working with Cindy and learning how to harness it, that I don't have as many physical reactions or get the headaches or things like that. It's only when I do too much that I start getting them because I was able to bring it in and harness it. So, you know, it just comes more, how can I put it, more of a, I'm so used to it that I don't even realize I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think our energy fields get released in such a way as we can just be in it instead of.
That's right. It's like a snap. It's like a switch. Mm-hmm. And then it's boom. And then when I know I'm supposed to be on, I'm on. And then Cindy's taught me how to turn off. And I think that when, you know, Indigo was younger, and we talk about that in the book, in the first book, you know, was that not knowing the on and off and kind of having the physical reactions and, you know, being able to, you know, absorb energy, which in turn wasn't really helping me, was unbalancing me. So it's now that I'm more in control over all the years of balancing, cutting my cords, doing all the things I need to do, I can control it versus it controlling me.
Mm.
And that's kind of the beauty in it in a nice way. So I learned the dance with the divine so that we're all on an even keel, which before it wasn't. It would just hit me all the time, and I wouldn't know what to do with it, how to work with it, and then I'd get physical emotions and absorb. And, you know, and then that was kind of that up and down, and then my ego being at me. So I talk about, you know, how to understand the ego and the ego voice, because that also really amplifies your intuition when you understand your internal dialogue.
Oh, that's helpful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm,
So let's go into the story, and I'm just jumping to you as well. But in the story, well, a lot of her struggle, Indigo's struggle in becoming an intuitive, was really hard during her teenage years, was it not?
Oh, yes, and it definitely was, yeah.
Did you really want to let it be free when you were a little kid, or did you worry about it, or...
I didn't start worrying about it until I was told it was wrong.
Okay.
And that's where, you know, I'm such an advocate, and I work now with families and children with sensitive or highly psychic children. On, you know, my passion was because when all these things were going on with me, my parents didn't really know what to do, and, you know, I was poted and, you know, prodded and poked, and, you know, and I didn't have bipolar, I didn't have split personality, and all these sort of things. I got tested for all these things, and I don't have any of that. And
well, you got tested for all that stuff. Wow.
I got tested. Oh, yeah, for all sorts of depression, like you name it.
Wow.
I was, you know, and I had, you know, all these sort of things, and they couldn't figure out, well, she's very sensitive. Okay, well, what does that mean? So it was actually my general practitioner, we call them GPs here in Canada, that, you know, eventually just said, well, she must have this ESP thing, like, have a nice life. The British, they didn't really know what to say about it. You know, it was like, well... She's got high sensory. Like, we don't know what to tell you. Now, remember this. Now, this is like late 80s, early 90s as I'm coming into my, you know, puberty at the same time.
Right.
So, you know, going all the years of really trying to figure out why I was seeing things and why these things were happening, and but then also trying to keep it quiet because it was kind of one of those, I was embarrassed by it because it wasn't until Sunday school, I think it was, that I started feeling that I was different because I had raised my hand up and I said, so there was a comment about, you know, good people versus bad people. And I remember putting my hand up and saying, well, that's not what the angels say. And something about free will and all that sort of stuff. And I was, you know, that look, I can never forget her look on her face. She was like, Tara, be quiet, get out. And I had never been kicked out of anything.
Oh, well, she kicked you out. How old were you?
Kicked me out and escorted me out. And I had to sit and sit outside the class. And I'm crying. You know, I'm quite upset.
How old were you?
I was about around the age of 7 or 8, yeah,
wow.
If I remember around that time.
Wow.
So it was all around the same where this was all happening as I was transitioning, but it was the most beautiful situation because of that, I do what I do now.
Right.
Because I vowed that I would never have any or any children that come across my path, I will never feel that what their experience is wrong.
Yeah.
You
wow.
know, and
so how do you
where
work with them?
Everything happens for a reason. It was a blessing, really.
Yeah, everything does, and you meet the right people. So you met the cranky school teacher, Sunday school teacher.
Yeah, the cranky Sunday school teacher. I was like, you know, it's like, hush her up and get her out, you know? Like, woo!
So let's fast forward for a minute and talk about how you work with kids now. How would you have worked with yourself had you met yourself?
I would work with myself as working with the parents as well, and that teaching how to... work with intuition, depending on if the child where their strongest intuitive abilities are. So we have seers, hearers, feelers, knowers.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I was born with seeing and hearing. So my feeling and my knowing didn't come as strong, but my seeing and my hearing did.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd filter out and be able to work with the child or children, depending on if there's multiple in the family, on which ones are their strongest, and then we focusing on those and then teaching them how they receive answers. And what I mean by that is, so if a person is a feeler, they're not going to get some, like a yes in their ear. They're going to feel the yes or feel the no, or they're going to have a physical reaction than either physically seeing it or hearing it. So
you
it depends
have to
on
help
how
them
you're
break the, and break their code,
yeah.
eh?
That's right, breaking the code and then getting them to work with that and then filtering into the other ones. Once they feel comfortable with their strengths, then you move into the other ones so that they can, you know, filter into the four. Now, you'll always be stronger than and more than in the ones that are you're born with, but that doesn't mean that you can't filter into the other ones. But as we always say, it's like someone's a really great painter, but their sculpting is good, but it's not as good as the painting. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So that's kind of where the beauty is. So I work with them, and I work with the parents of how to help them harness that intuition and how to get them to understand their internal dialogue and get them, teach them about ego. And when I work with children or younger, anyone under the age of 10, I talk about it as the not-so-nice voice.
Oh, right, okay.
You know, so that they understand mm-hmm. and that what the difference is and that it's healthy and that how to talk things out and not to hold it in and that to share their experiences with mom and dad and have mom and dad ask them questions because it's so important to be asking the child questions and pulling things out so that they don't feel judged. Because the minute they feel judged, they're going to shut right down.
Shut right down, that's right. Well, swinging around in that particular pool of information, like I'd like to talk about the parents. But one of the things that intrigues me is how do you help a child who's really, really empathic? And I know a lot of adults who still can't deal with that. It's a terrible thing. It's not a terrible thing to be empathic. It's just that it seems to really almost lobotomize some people, you know, or you go on living out feelings that are not even your own, you know.
That's right. And a sense of feeling, as you know, I've had clients say to me over the years, I feel paralyzed. You know, I don't want to go outside my house. I feel overwhelmed. I just can't, you know, feel like I can't function in society, right?
Right.
And what my suggestion is with people that are feelers across the board, you know, children, you know, teens, adults, all the way through, is that it's what I say this is when we have to do our homework. It's like brushing your teeth is using protection work. So every morning, you know, when you're in the shower, you're going to surround yourself in white light. And it's a routine. It's just like brushing your teeth or changing your underwear. It's something that becomes part of your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. As much as I say crystals are really pretty to look at, people wear them for a reason because they do create sort of energy balancing. So heart, you know, wearing rose quartz on your heart chakra makes a huge difference. And I've done trials with people years and years ago just to see which ones worked and which ones didn't. Mm-hmm. And I found the rose quartz, the bigger the stone around the heart chakra, the more balanced the person felt throughout the week. So, and not feeling as if they're taking on as much, cutting your cords. I know Taurine Virtue talks about cutting your cords with Archangel Michael. I was taught back in the day, which I think is fabulous too. Taurine Virtue has a lot of really great tips out there. And so does John Holland too as well. Mm-hmm. There's one that I was taught, which was an old Japanese style, which was you literally physically cut the cord. So you would take your right hand to your left shoulder
okay.
and you take three deep breaths in. So you go in through the nose and out through the mouth. And you would almost as if you were slicing with you, like as if your hand was a slicer and you'd slice across a chunk of your body. So from your chest down to the opposite. So from your right shoulder to your left hip. So you'd go 1, 2, 3, like as if you're slicing across your body. Hopefully I'm making sense visually for people right now. Okay. And then you take another deep breath in through the nose and out through the mouth, and then do the opposite side. So it would be, you know, your left shoulder to right hip, 1, 2, 3. And then you would keep your forearm out as if the inside of the elbow was popping out, and then you would swoosh down the forearm, 1, 2, 3. So 1, 2, 3. So it becomes really fast. So down both sides of the body and then the forearms. And that works like a charm. But it's an old, old, old Japanese, I think even a lot of Reiki practitioners, this is something that has been taught and kind of passed down over centuries and centuries. Hmm. That works like a charm.
I like that.
It's amazing how what we don't see doesn't matter. It's still there. Mm-hmm. And if we are using the energy and doing the breath work, it releases. When we start to feel stress, especially for empathic energies, they tend to hold their breath because they are feeling uncomfortable with what they're feeling. The
right.
key is to breathe, 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 because that's how we detox and let go.
Mm-hmm.
Just like lotion. You put lotion on our skin. We absorb it. Same thing with energy. We throw our, you know, it's like I say, empathic people, it's like putting a sponge in water and they suck up all the water around them. So the thing is to wring it out. So how you're going to wring it out is by doing your deep breathing exercises, and anytime you're feeling that, stop, you know, if you're at work, go into a cubicle or whatever that is where you have a safe place and do deep breathing and cut your cords and do your energy work. It's just part of knowing you're a physical being. You have to do physical things to release it.
So the breathing, what is the breathing technique you teach?
The breathing is in through the nose and out through the mouth. So I've always suggested putting post-it notes in all the places you know you're going to go, because when we're holding our breath, we don't realize we're holding our breath until we do the, oh my goodness, I was holding my breath. right? And really concentrating and kind of grasp for air. So using Post-it notes to say breathe three times, and then you go in through the nose and then out through the mouth. But make that sound. It's like even people that do it in yoga too, it's that, because you're releasing any energy that's being stored in the trunk of the body, because that's where the soul resides, is in our solar plexus, right? In it's right in the body. So, you know, when we come into this life with our first breath, we leave with our last. Our breath is our soul.
Right.
So our soul comes and goes with our breath. So when we need to cleanse the soul or are feeling absorbed, we must breathe.
Well, it's wonderful that you could teach little children that, couldn't you?
Mm-hmm. And they love it. They love doing the breathing exercises, the belly breaths, and they get to stick out their belly. So we make it fun mm-hmm. so that they enjoy it. And then talking about sometimes when they feel down and that's normal, and it doesn't mean your friend doesn't care about you. It's just that sometimes if they're down, you're going to feel down. So you just got to cut your cords, and you can still be supportive, but knowing how to take care of you.
Wow.
And that's the key, right, is not to ostracize or, you know, one's bad or good, because it's not about that. It's about learning how to, whatever that soul is experiencing or the little, like the little angels are experiencing, we're able to show them how to cut that cord and be supportive but not feel like they have to take it on.
That's great. So how do you work with the parents? Do you get them to do these exercises as well?
Oh, yeah. It's
and
fun.
Do you usually find that the parents themselves are very intuitive?
Some yes, some no. I've had some really great experience with some parents, especially, you know, one parent more than the other that is more intuitive, and then one that is absolutely doesn't want to go there. But by the end of me working with them, you know, they are into it, and they kind of smile and giggle where they walk in saying, "This is crazy. What am I doing here?" You know, but they see a change in themselves, and they become more intuitive, and it's more just fear. And you know, I've had them say to me, I don't know how many times, saying, "You know, I was just scared. I just didn't understand it. You know, so I judged it. I thought it was all wacky or hocus pocus, but now I see how much you know happier our family is, and how, you know, that twinkle in my son or daughter's eyes is back again, and you know, all those sort of things. That it was just more the fear of the unknown. That's all.
Yeah. Is it mostly fathers or mothers?
Fathers.
Or just,
yeah.
Well, let's go back to Indigo, because she was so cute. I love her in high school, where she's. You know, high school is really traumatizing, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and falling in love and all that kind of stuff, and how kids were freaked out by that. I thought that was really helpful information, hey?
Mm-hmm.
You went through
and
that.
And, you know, it's so great, because when people talk, you know, when what we, Lorna and I were trying to do the book, Lorna wrote it and would take pieces of my life and then be able to put the stories in there. So the experiences are real, but, you know, the plot lines have been mixed around. So the only people that are real, that are based on real people, are my parents, my brother, me, my animals, and Cindy, and certain locations. Like, I went to Ridgemont High School. Annabelle's Angel Store did exist between Parkdale and Holland in Canada, mm-hmm. In Ottawa. You know, so these places, landmarks exist. I did live in the Glebe. I did have that experience of the place downtown being haunted. My friend did see the ghost. You know, all those sort of things. And that was
so. So that guy, George, was his name George?
George was fictional. George,
okay.
The antique owner next door.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's fictional. But what was interesting, the place that I lived downtown was owned by an antique store. So that's what was fun. Lorna was able to take my stories and then, you know, obviously to protect and to create, put her fictional twist on things. But those experiences had happened. So the green lady is fictional. It was actually a man that we were dealing with in my experience. But the experiences were the same. It's just the plot lines weren't.
Well, how often have you this is a quantifiable mm-hmm. question, we'll forget that part, but do you often experience, for example, like some of my clients will, spirit beings that are literally messing up somebody's ability to cope in their antique store or in their store somewhere?
Oh, yeah. And that was, you know, being, and that was why it was so important, Lauren, I felt, to put that experience that I had
important.
When I first
started. Mm-hmm.
Because that was my first introduction to an energy that hadn't crossed over yet and wasn't looking out for anybody's best interest but their own, mm-hmm. right? And they didn't really understand that they were, kind of knew that they were dead. So, like, I put it this way. Imagine being in your home and time doesn't exist, but all these people are coming through your home, and you're saying, well, why is this happening? And this is kind of, why are all these people here? It's like, I'm in denial of the fact that I'm dead, so she's not really, or she or he is not really understanding that, because they're latching on to an emotion or something that had happened there. So they're getting frustrated and irritated, because the ego doesn't detach completely until you go to the light.
Mm.
So they still have forms of ego. So they're still feeling kind of frustrated and angry and saying, why are these people trapped into this house? This is my house, and I'm going to let them know this is my house. You imagine,
but also,
right?
That one of your spirits there was caught in a whirlpool of grief and so on, which I think
that's right.
Us,
so
it's
she couldn't
an insanity
see the light for the
in
day.
A way. Yeah.
And then taking her to the light, which was what needed to happen so she could be free and let go. So she was so caught up in her concept of lack that the acceptance of that she had crossed over wasn't there for her. It does. Our angels and our divine team and everybody, they try to come to get us. But if we refuse to see, we will not see.
Or feel, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Feel, see, hear, know. If we are so shut down on focusing on our grief or our loss or lack, then we don't, as that saying goes, do not see the forest for the trees.
Mm-hmm.
They eventually do go to the light, and that's why I don't want people, I always tell people, I don't want to scare them in the sense that, you know, it's like Catholics, they call it purgatory, it's limbo. Mm-hmm. But it's not like you get whipped and beaten or whatever, it's just the soul hasn't accepted that they've crossed and they're still trying to hold on to something from the material or the world, or this world that we've created, and not wanting to accept.
And
trying
to want to be, don't they sometimes just want to be at home where they were before, that sort of thing?
That's right, and feeling like they haven't fulfilled something yet, mm-hmm. where there was, and letting go and letting it be whatever that was. It was still a sense of control is what I like to say, and that's part of where the ego comes into play.
Yeah, it was funny because years ago I had a big house in Victoria, and the fellow had died there. It's an old house, and I bought the house with a lot of their stuff in it. And then when I was moving out, that spirit went crazy.
Yeah.
And it was a real introduction to me and went crazy. It just went scratching on the walls and the basement doors were opening. It was incredible. And that's how I had to go to the Psychic Society. I think I paid 75 cents for tea and a reading in those days. And that's when they explained to me, you know, he likes the family there. He wants the family to stay. He doesn't want you to move his bookshelves, you know, blah, blah, blah.
That's right, because they become attached. And that was when we, and so the tools that we talk about in the book, that's what Cindy Annabelle actually taught me, was how to clear, how to do this. But what was funny is that the soul then, or the, we became peace with what we say Green Lady, but in the story that I talk about, it was a male, and that, he did show himself to my friend at the same time, because my friend thought I was like, Tara, we know you're spiritual, we know that you see things, but no, ghosts don't exist. And she was from Newfoundland, and she was a Newfie. She didn't actually talk like that in the way that, you know, in the book. But she, you know, she did bolt in my room, oh my God, I saw him, oh my goodness. You know, I said, see, I told you, you know. But once we came to peace with him and cleared it, you know, we were fine, but then, you know, the same issues started happening right underneath us at my friend's boyfriend's place.
But isn't it interesting?
So we were like, oh, no, here we go again. We got to clear it, you know?
But you what know, you're so saying is it's possible for anyone who sees a ghost to actually clear it, right?
Yes, with the proper help and the proper education. So that's why at the back of the book we do talk about, you know, when to seek a professional and when some tips to help yourself and when to, you know, definitely go out there and get someone else to help. If you've done some of the tools and it hasn't worked, then we're dealing with a bigger issue. So that's when you need somebody to come in.
A bigger issue could be a powerful soul that is just not
correct.
Willing.
Not willing. An older one that's been hanging around and is latching on. Yeah.
For hundreds of years, maybe.
And never meant to scare or hurt. It's just, they don't know, how would I say it? It's not that they don't know any better. It's more, it's just years and eons of anger. And that's a long time of anger, right? So.
Well, it's just a state of being after a while, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Wow. So you teach people, and it's, the book is just full of, I want to say, but Lorna's not here because we had a confusion with our phone lines, but I want to say that the book is written in such a way that it really takes you through emotionally as well. You really feel like you're wearing the shoes of this indigo.
And she, and that's the thing, Lorna is such an amazing writer. She, you know, to work with her was such an amazing gift, and to be able to, you know, she would take the stories and then create this, you know, amazing series out of it. Yes, it's based on my life and all those sort of things, but, you know, the fictional part and the stuff that has to be put into a book, I mean, she just whipped that up. Just such a talent.
Wow.
You know? Yeah.
But I think it's interesting that you said there she was on her treadmill or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Talking
she
to Cindy, and she's going, what?
While writing the book, going, okay, what's going on here? Yeah.
But isn't it true that as we focus on that kind of thing, then many people can awaken to it, can't they?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It's always there. Mm-hmm. It's just up to us if we want to allow it in or not.
Yeah. And do you teach people to open up to it?
I do. I've been doing that for years. So on top of doing sessions for people, I'm also quite known for my courses and teaching people how to master their intuition. And if you go on my website, I've got, you know, the guided intuition audios, how to embrace their own intuition. It's kind of what I do with kids, but the children, but more advanced. So I've got adults. I've got all walks of life. You know, intuitives. I teach other intuitives how to really harness and take it to the next level.
Oh, that's great. I'm so passionate about it. Do you travel a lot in your work?
I do travel. Yeah, yeah. I travel a fair amount, and I do. Yeah, I've got clients all over the world, which I'm so blessed and honored. And so I do Skype and phone. And when I'm in town, I kind of laugh. For years, I did phone and Skype, and I had an office in Ottawa, and then I have an office out here in Calgary, Alberta. But I'm not in it very much. But when I am, I do get that cabin fever that I need to have that connection with people. It's fun. I love doing phone and Skype, and it's great, and it allows me my versatility to be able to, you know, see clients all over the world and do sessions for them at any, you know, depending on time zones. And but I do get, if people are in town, I love to see them. So if somebody's flying through, I'm like, well, come see me in person. It's just nice to hug people in person sometimes.
Yeah, it really is. So your mom, you referred to her in the both books as somebody who really kind of knew what you were like. Is that right?
She did. Yeah. Mom was, what was interesting is that what was going on, Mom always knew that I was having these experiences, and she was more understanding. My dad, not that he didn't understand or lack love, it's just more, it scared him, because it was his grandfather, his father, my papa, was the one that was really kind of my major introduction, plus, you know, the angels and things like that, that papa would talk to me all the time, and so did my great-grandma, and my dad didn't really deal with my papa's death very well, so he would start to cry, and then I would feel like I've done something bad. So, it, you know, like, where it was never that, so my dad best to just kind of, I wouldn't say stay away, but not to talk about it because it made him scared. I mean, now it's totally, you know, fine, but when we look back down those days, it was not knowing what's going on with his daughter, and as men, not knowing how to fix it, right? So how do I help, or what do I do when my daughter's having these experiences and I feel helpless? So I'm just going to either get angry or avoid it.
And also, so let's go to personal. You don't have to get all personal, but I'm getting personal with you.
I don't mind. No.
So having a personal relationship, is it difficult to find a partner who can handle all that?
I wouldn't say it's difficult, because I believe the divine will bring the right people. What's funny is that the partners that I have had, some knew, some didn't, and the ones that didn't know, that didn't last very long anyways. So I was like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, because you can't put a bag over your head, and you can't stifle yourself.
Right. I used to laugh, and I would date very artistic people as a teenager, or people that were, you know, the wound, as they would laugh, say, the wounded bird syndrome, the ones that I could help, right? And
yes,
then in the
yes,
end,
yes.
I was always the one being left, or, you know,
who
was
needed
never
help.
Good enough. Yeah, exactly. They got help and moved on, you know, so it was like, oh, okay. But it's interesting now that, you know, I am with a partner who is my complete opposite. And as he says, I don't know what I believe in, but I believe in you. Because I've seen you do things that just don't make, that just, there's no way anybody could prove science. Or, there's just no way. He goes,
so he's not a healer or a...
No. And there's a lot of intuitives that are. For me and where I grew up, see, my dad was very much a man's man. You know, it's funny, you know, the old saying, you never go far from what you know.
Yes.
You know, into sports and that. So is my partner. He's very much into sports. And hence kind of that's how Lorna and I met. So Lorna, her husband is, my partner works for her husband.
Oh,
in hockey. So that's how we had met, and she had, you know, her own intuitive experiences, and we became really good friends, and we, you know, chatted, and that's kind of how everything came into, everything meant to be. You're meant to meet the right people, do the right thing, and you know, she said to me one day, yeah, like, what was it like being a teenager? What did your parents do? Like, how did that all work? And because she had three teens at home at the time, and,
right.
You know, so I would tell her story after story, and she's like, oh, I would love to write your memoir one day, and I said, nah, we need to do a fiction, and that's really how everything happened.
Oh, that's really brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting, because just focusing on it really, I know I've already said this, but just focusing on it really awakens it in her more and more.
Mm-hmm.
What about her kids?
I think they all have their own intuitive abilities, no doubt about it. One of her daughters is an actress, so I think that's a natural. You know, she's mm-hmm. got to hone in, you know, energy to be able to do what she does, and she's absolutely brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is a dancer. Again, that's honing in energy, right? Are very artistic, very expressive. And then her third is lovely, also into sports, but just really sensitive and her children are the most lovely children. It was so nice because I was able to make friendships with them, each of them, and they're just absolutely lovely. Like I always say, you know, when children come along for me, I would be nothing but, you know, grateful to have children that are just as lovely as her children are.
Aww.
Yeah, they are just absolutely wonderful, wonderful, wonderful kids.
I think it's really interesting if you can touch these children, which you do, you know, teaching them how to, not just her children, but generally in your classes, how mm-hmm. to be in touch with their own empowerment. Boy, oh boy, that would be something about growing up with that, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. And that's my passion. And the thing is, you know, for me, the book was, it's based on my life and all that sort of stuff. But at the end of the day, you know, and Lorna, you know, does her amazing fiction and as the writer and everything. To me, the whole purpose was this book was really the book for the people, because what I felt when I was young, even though it was a blessing and feeling alone, is that I never wanted anyone to feel alone. And the book was designed that everyone can relate to it one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's where, Lorna, you know, we put in the spiritual and the non-spiritual back and forth. So then typical teenager stuff, and, you know, Lorna would twist in all that lovely stuff. And then, you know, just also having teens at home, or now, you know, not teens anymore. But, you know, that was nice, you know, because she was able to grab from those experiences as a mom, too.
Yeah, and even the language she uses.
The language,
yeah.
She
knows,
like,
kids.
It's brilliant, like how Lorna just threw that all together.
Yeah, she's
so
good.
So it's... You know, I think it for me, it's about empowering them to know that they're not different, that they are having these experiences, that they're not crazy, and how to balance yourself out with it, and how you can have it work for you
mm-hmm.
to help you through life and empower you, and to have you focus on your dreams and your aspirations and your life purpose, and that you know you are a gift in this world, no matter where you come from. Everyone is a miracle and a gift.
Wow, that's wonderful. Now tell me this, that you said there are four different categories that you work with people, seeing, knowing, what is it, seeing, knowing, feeling?
Seeing, hearing, knowing, and feeling.
Okay, seeing, hearing, knowing, and feeling.
You know, we can, and I laugh,
that's just
kind of the easy terms of saying it, because when I work with a lot of children, you know, it's clairvoyance, claircognizance, clairsentience, and I'm missing one, clairsentience,
knowing?
Clairaudience.
Audience.
So those are your fancy C's, but that's what the four mean.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm just saying seeing, hearing, feeling, knowing. Yeah.
Well,
you know, typically people talk about them in the four C's.
Yeah. I call it the family of Clairs. That's what I
hear. Yeah, there we go. The family of Clairs. So I say feeling, seeing, hearing, knowing.
Yeah.
Because when I say that to children, they go, what? Or anybody that's trying to send their intuition, they're like, they've lost you by the second word.
I know.
You know, so,
sounds
yeah,
so
they're
complicated.
Like, okay, on to the next. Yeah.
Do you give them a special test, or how do you decide, or do they tell you?
I let them speak first, and I'll ask them about their experiences, and then I'm able to pick up on it too as well. I know
mm-hmm.
when a child is more in tune than another one. It doesn't make the one less special or anything. It's just being in their energy gives it right off.
Hmm.
You know, so it's the old saying, you know, another intuitive knows another highly intuitive. It's just, boom, when you get in each other's energy, it's just bang, 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 bang. Sparks start going off, right? And
yeah.
You get a bunch of intuitives in a room, it's like, you know, fireworks.
You know? And everybody's energy, unfolding
ding, ding,
like
ding,
that.
Ding. Yeah, and so, you know, and that's where it's like we're all born with a minimum of one. So every single soul has one ability in this lifetime. Some of us are just born with more.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't make anybody better or less. But my goal, or I feel strongly, is just helping other people harness into that so that they can help themselves and that they can empower themselves to trust their own intuition.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen it time and time and time again is that, you know, for people that, let's say a feeler doesn't necessarily see, so they may get nervous or scared around people that see, it's just because they're afraid and they don't understand it. So
mm-hmm.
you're learning how to speak another person's language. So a feeler, when you say, you see what I mean, they're not going to understand what you mean. They're going to say, well, you feel what I mean. And you go, oh, yeah, yeah, that's what you mean.
Mm-hmm. Right? I get what you mean.
Because they feel things out versus seeing. So it's learning how to communicate with the different types of intuitives,
mm-hmm.
Even ones that don't necessarily know that yet, and working with that on them and showing them all the experiences they've had that lead them, and they go, oh, well, that makes sense. And it's like, yes, that's why you're here. Yeah, to learn. Yeah.
So tell me about the other side. Do you call in spirits or do you see spirits still? Do you see them a lot?
I see them a fair amount. Because when I do sessions for people, depending on the soul across from me, sometimes it depends on if the spirit wants to show themselves or I'm going to hear them. Mm. You know, so it's so funny, as we say, it depends on the person across, because that's really going to hone what's going to happen for me and how their spiritual connection works. So if the person is a feeler, then I'll start feeling, and then sometimes I'll see it. It really depends. And like I always say, every day is a different day, mm-hmm. because I never know what's going to walk through my door. You know?
And, I love and that that's part.
Yeah, you never know. So, and you're just like, you just got to, you know, as the saying goes, you know, it's not about us. Literally remove it. It's about service. Like, we're merely just the conduits. Like I always say, and they say, well, thank you. I said, listen, I'm just merely the in-between. Thank them. They do the work. I'm just relaying the message. That's it.
And is Cindy still talking to you?
Oh, all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She was large in life. She's even larger on the other side. She was
really?
A Leo, and she has no problem speaking her mind. Let me just put it that way.
Well, I think I'm pretty fascinated by the fact that we say, oh, so-and-so is unhappy as a spirit, so she needed to be crossed over and so on. And people say, once they do that, you never see them again. But my experience is you can see them anytime they want.
Anytime, yeah.
And also, I found in my work, I don't know if this is something you work with, but many people come from the other side to complete leftover things here, which I'm understanding is a lot about breaking free from karmic bondage and so on. Do you experience
sometimes,
that?
Yeah. Sometimes they want us to really message it to other people, or, you know, wanting the sense of, not that they want the forgiveness, wanting the person to forgive them, because it's a sense of letting them go, mm-hmm. right, so that they can move on.
Unhooking.
You know, it's like when I work with people going through the dying process, so that's something else that I do, and I work with the families, I always encourage them, and I know it's not easy, but I walk them through it, and I take my time and baby steps and those sort of things, is you have to tell them it's okay to go, because mm-hmm. they're going to hang on for you, because that's the thing. Like, that's what we do. When we're on our crossover, deathbed, whatever you want to call it, we're always saying, did I tell people I love them enough? Did I love people enough? Like, we're always more concerned about, was I good to other people than we are about ourselves?
Yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it?
So that's kind of where it's like, you know, I encourage people when you're working with people that, you know, tell them it's okay, and sometimes it hurts, and yes, you're going to grieve it, but you need to actually help them go by you loving them to let them go too.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was speaking to a woman whose husband was on the other side for 9 years, and she's still very grief-struck. But he came very strongly, and he kept saying, you have to let me go, because
yeah.
I'm going to really expand, and you are too, you know.
That's right.
And he
That's
was
right.
funny. I said, this guy's really funny. She goes, oh, he was always funny, you know. And it just is a very, very powerful message for people, isn't it?
It is, because we love, we are love. We are a product of love. Okay, there's many types of love, but we are love. So when we love each other, especially when we cross over, that love never dies. Mm-hmm. It never goes away. That's where we come from. That's where we're born from. That's what we are, is love.
Doesn't feel like that sometimes.
Energy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I find it fascinating that, you know, when we cross over, it's that love is going to stay and it doesn't break. So when we are holding on to somebody who's passed over and not continuing our purpose here, that soul, because they love you so much, will still be there to comfort you. So they will stick around to make sure you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that love. So it's not because you're not punishing the other soul, or it's more like, yes, grieve, let it go, have your moments. But then also be proactive to embrace the love that you already are, and that person, you know, loves you just as much, and that's never going to change, and they'll come back and visit, but they also have things that they need to do too.
Exactly.
You know, we just go cross over and sit around and twiddle our thumbs. It's not really what happens. You know, we've got other things we've got to do. We're looking out for other people, you know, so
yeah.
the more that's so true in what he said, the more they expand, the more that she can just say, I love you, come visit me when you have time, I'm going to be okay, I promise I'm going to not sleep all the time, and I'm going to get out there and live life. Then he can expand his energy even more, because he's crossed into the different dimensions.
And he's not
so that when
tethered.
He does come through, he comes back through strong, strong, strong.
Yeah. And also I watched, I mean, her energy fields really got free as she comprehended, you know? And she just, she said, I don't really know if I know how to let go. I said, it's okay, you're doing it.
That's right. That's right. You just breathe it out.
Yeah.
That's all that you do.
Yeah. And it's just so heartening to hear those kinds of stories, I think, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it absolutely is. And then when you see them break free from those shackles, to realize there's so much life to be lived, and that, sure, yes, we're all going to cross over, and yes, we're going to miss people, but they're just, the physical's gone. They'll be there. They'll show you signs that they're around. They want you to continue living because that's what you're here to do.
Yeah. And yeah, and it's actually very exciting if you look at it that way, isn't it?
Yeah.
Here's a little story. The other day, my grandson, who's 8 years old, said to me, Grammy, I feel a pain. I said, oh dear, what is it? He said, I don't know, it isn't mine. I went, oh.
Good, yeah. Good, so, he recognizes it. That's so important. Yeah,
yeah,
that's the first step. Yeah.
And his little face looked kind of all screwed up. He said, it isn't mine. I said, well, is it so-and-so, so-and-so? Then he finally goes, my mind said it's so-and-so. And I said, well, that's good. And once he got that, he cleared it almost instantaneously.
Beautiful.
And I didn't hammer it. I didn't carry on. I just watched him and accepted it, sort of thing. And that helped him a lot. But I thought it was interesting because these little kids, so many little kids are weighted down by feelings they pick up at home, aren't they?
That's right. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, why Lauren and I came together was, you know, Lauren is a sense to entertain, but, you know, and then I, for both of us, you know, was to put out something that's gonna help people, help families. Like, we have all types of readers. So that's just nice. Sure, it's a YA, but we've got we've got all ages reading it, moms, dads, parents, like, you name it. And that's what's beautiful, because everyone can relate and having these experiences. And then also, especially with the little ones, you know, parents are saying, okay, great, now as, you know, these things are beginning, that I'm able to draw from the book, too, on how to, you know, somewhat handle or how to help. And, you know, through Indigo's experiences, I can see that in my child's experiences. And that's the most reward, is that's what we wanted, you know, for it
I think it's wonderful.
Yeah. And that was completely, you know, channeled. Yes, it was written and all those sort of things. But it was, there was a higher purpose taking over on this one, no doubt.
Oh, yeah,
about
you
it.
Can feel it, eh?
Yeah.
I love that. What do you think of aliens? Well, what do you think the difference is between angels and aliens and spirit beings?
Well, I have to tell you, I absolutely love that show, Ancient Aliens.
Oh, yeah, I watched bits and pieces, yeah.
One of my favorite, you know, the theories are really interesting. And here's the thing, you know, angels just means messenger in Greek. They say, you know, aliens are messengers. It's just names. It's like boy, girl.
Yeah.
I think it would be very human mind of me to say that we're the only species in this world.
Oh, no.
You know what I'm saying?
That's hilarious, yeah.
And that's where I would say, I totally believe that there are other energies in other places in this world. I mean, I just find it to be so low, low, low mind, you know, old ancient thinking, you know, to say, we're the only ones and the world's flat.
You know? I know. It's really kind of insane.
No, I do believe. I do believe that there are those experiences, and absolutely, they're out there. And, you know, has there been theories on angels and aliens all being the same thing? Well, you know what? If all for the greater good, then it's fine. You know, so it doesn't.
So, what do you think about the collective? What do you think about the shift and awakening and all that kind of thing?
I think we're already awake. We just have to acknowledge that we are.
Oh, okay.
I think it's been around for quite some time. I think that I think there's such a divide. It's either you're with it or you're not. There's no in between right now. And I'm sure you've noticed that.
Yeah.
Either you have embraced it or you haven't. And then when you do, it's like the light switch. But I do feel that people are embracing it a lot more, their own intuitive and the connection and what we see, the grid, and that we're all connected to one place quicker. I do believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I also believe only the strongest souls have come through around this, because I think Earth is the last place to evolve to the highest dimension.
Mm-hmm. It's a real bastion of
That's
intense
my opinion.
Polarities, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah. What do you think about, you know, for example, the shift and awakening and politics and systems? What do you think is the impact?
I think as a globally, because we can look at Canadian, American, I mean, we can look at Russia right now, which kind of just makes me shake my head. But, you know, that's just my opinion to say, okay, so especially what's going on with the gay. I just think, oh, my.
But then there's the Middle East, and it's pretty scary, hey?
But it's pretty scary. And this is where I believe that things, old ways are being broken and they need to be. So it's kind of like we have, I say to people, we have free will, but read the fine print, mm-hmm. is that we're taking too long. So things, we need to kind of get things sorted out so that we can move forward. And
what do you think we can do about that?
This way.
How do you see it that way?
I see it that being, you know, studied theology, I've studied the Quran, I've studied the Bible, I've done, you know, all sorts of spiritual works, and that's my background of going to theology, as Indigo gets into theology at St. Paul's University.
Yes, I love right? that. Did you go to St.
Yeah,
Paul's?
Yeah, I did. That's where I went. Yeah, St. Paul's University. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's your truth, like all those sort of things. So,
here comes the next book.
That's, yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see if that, there's no plans of us writing it just now, but we've kind of left the series as it can be left, or we could build. But we'll see if it's meant to be, it's meant to be, you know?
Okay, yeah.
So I find that, you know, it's our mind, and this is why I'm so passionate about teaching people about intuition and ego, because I know that if we get people, or not to say get people, if we can start looking at ego as a part of who we are and not trying to rid ourselves of it, because I think the more that we rid ourselves of it, the more down we become about it, the more we hate ourselves, and the more that we then put hate out in this world.
Right. Okay.
So I think if we find the balance between learning how to work with our egos, knowing that it's just our fear, it's just our fixed beliefs, it's programmed to give us the opposite of our truth so that we can fully embrace our truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, without it, how would I know the difference, as the old saying goes? You know, how would I know unconditional love if I didn't experience hate, right? Of course, hate is not a good place to stay, so I'll go back to unconditional love. So those are the sort of things. Everything has what we're talking about, the polar opposites, right? So the ego is made for a reason so that we can fully embrace our human existence
right.
as a spiritual being and learn and evolve and grow. Now,
and it is the engine into the collective in a lot of ways.
Right, mm-hmm. right. So, but the more we try to rid it, the stronger it becomes and the more unhappy we become.
Mm-hmm.
So we learn how to work with it and balance it out, then we become more peaceful and happy and we ease through life. And this is something I've been studying for 10 years or 10 to 12 years now. So, and that's part of my other, so I'm a nonfiction writer, so I talk about learning, love your ego, love your life, and learning how to embrace your intuition by understanding your ego and not trying to rid it, because then you'll just, it's like a dog chasing its tail, like you're just constantly in circles.
Mm-hmm.
So I do believe that because, and especially in North America, we've built it very much on an ego mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Until we break down those conscious levels of understanding what are we really fighting for, then when we really understand this and come together as a people to say, okay, what is really important in life, mm-hmm. that's when the shift's going to change.
Well, and I think when you said the thing about it's taking too long, I'm fascinated by that because I agree with that.
It's taking too long. And that's why we're going to the world is actually intervening. The physical world is intervening, as you've seen.
You mean with the earth changes and the weather
yeah.
and the strange
yeah,
fires
the earth is,
and the...
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
saying enough. It's mm-hmm. cleansing. It's cleansing itself, just like our body does, right? The
mm-hmm.
earth is a breathing organism. It's going to say, enough.
Right.
I've had it.
And do you think that'll escalate the rate or speed up the rate at which we go through the shift?
Well, that's where I say, you know, free will, read the fine print. We won't, you know, by the third strike, you're out, where it's, we're not going to have a choice. It's like, okay, guys, clean it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we walk the first time, we run the second one, we go kicking and screaming by the third, and then we go, oh, well, this is so much better. Why were we kicking and screaming?
So do you think we're going to live through this? Who was it was saying that there are all these different universes and we're on, it takes least level, consciousness level one or two for people to win-win and make love work on your planet, and then Earth is at basically zero.
That's right, and that's where I talk about the spirit world, and this is something that the other side has always explained to me. It's in other dimensions, it's so much easier to hold their vibrations. Here, it's one of the hardest because it's like deep-sea diving. Because our vibrations are so low here,
mm-hmm.
it's harder for them to communicate. It's almost like talking through a glass pane window because the dimension is so heavy at
mm-hmm.
times.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what they're trying to shift, and that's why we say only the strongest have come through, because we're here to shift it. So souls that haven't been here for eons are back to say, all right. And that's why we're seeing the 50, where there's kind of like the spiritual soul warriors, and then there's the, you know, other side that is fighting against it because they're fearful. They're fearful of losing control. That's all it is. It's a fear of control. Well, reality is, like, this isn't about control. It's about learning how to talk over the fence, not rip it down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the, you know, that we can all love each other's differences and live in peace. But there's that sense of, I'm right, you're right. Well, as we know, this concept of being one truth, it doesn't exist. There's many truths. But it's just the fear of what that is going to look like. So people just fight for what they know because they're afraid
security
of what they don't know.
Right. And money.
Which is wonderful in the end of the day anyways. It's great. It always works out, you know, but it's just fear.
What do you think about the conspiracy theories?
I think it depends on what type. I think there comes a point that we become too focused on the conspiracy and not on we're not focusing on living. We're just focusing on what was. And it's like, okay, whatever that part is done, how do we proactively move forward so it doesn't happen again?
So do you think that actually the universal frequencies, which I believe are really kind of moving fast these days, do you think that we're downloading enough of them to catalyze enough people to awaken at a speed that will... What?
I think it is happening, and we're going to see it in this generation. I think that's what I was saying. I think we already are awake. We're just deciding if we're bracing it or not. Because there's so many people. Let's think about this. 25 years ago, if we said to somebody, like, being spiritual, they would look at you like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, really.
Right? Mm-hmm. Now it's like, yeah, there's so much. You know, people are open. You'll have more people to being more open, and you could have a conversation with them. 25 mm-hmm. years ago, you'd be looked at like as if you had three heads.
Yeah, and a lot of people say in the vernacular these days, it's I sense this, or I get that, or
that's right. Yeah, I feel this, I know this. That's why I talk about the intuitive. People naturally speak their intuitive language.
Yeah,
without even knowing they're doing it.
I know, it's kind of exciting, eh?
It's fun.
Yeah.
In a very cool time. I got interviewed by a company. I can't remember what they were. This was years ago in Australia, and they were talking. I said to me, you know, what is the most amazing thing in this life? And I said. And it was amazing because I just sat there and I thought about it and I said, you know, it's so cool to be living in human form right now because we are watching such a massive change, and it's so neat to even see the children and how everything is changing. I mean, man, we're in for an awesome ride, you know? And that's where I think it's like, that's so cool to be a witness in there and being of service in this as we are really changing is a really cool experience to be human right now.
I guess I have to agree with
everything
you.
Else, but yeah.
The thing about war and everything else, as you mentioned, how do you perceive this creating our own reality? Seems like we're very protected by consciousness work, are we not? Like, it doesn't
very
feel
much
like
so.
It?
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't think death so. Is the worst thing, so sometimes...
No, and it isn't.
No.
And that's the thing, it's like, it's when people fear death that that becomes the worst thing for them, you know,
Well, on a more fun level, how about, not that I didn't like that conversation, because I do, but do you think that our guides and angels are in groups that are cheering us and keeping us awake? Because I kind of do.
Absolutely. That's why I say it's our own entourage, our divine team. Entourage is looking out for our best interests and the best interests of others. So they literally collaborate with each other's divine teams just to help everybody through, because they also made a commitment to you to help you fulfill what you're here to do. So that they're what they're doing is honoring the commitment to you.
Ah, I like that.
Because you asked them to.
Because we asked them to. Yeah. Do you ask for manifestations in your life?
Always.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh yeah. always. And things and not just like I say, whatever you want is there's a reason why you never go far from what you know. And what I mean by that, there's a reason why I've had no desire to, as much as I respect doctors and I have friends that are doctors, I have no desire to be a doctor.
Right.
You know, because it wasn't really part of my purpose. You know, my purpose was this. I fought it as a teen. I wanted to have nothing to do with it as you read through the Indigo series. And then I'm like, once I embrace it, then, you know, I couldn't see myself doing anything different. I'm sure I have my moments at times. I get tired. I mean, it's part of life.
Mm-hmm.
But I love helping people. I love helping people embrace their intuition. I love, you know, the reward, there's no amount of money or anything in the world that is the most amazing reward is watching someone embrace their greatness. Like it is, and living so happily, it's like, when they say thank you, I say thank you to you. Like you asked me to come on your journey and I'm witnessing your total transformation. It's just so neat. It's like a butterfly. You know, it's the same thing. It's like you're watching someone who just felt so trapped become so free, and it's just you can't help but smile and clap like a crazy person. You know, like, this is amazing. You know, it's a miracle. You know, like, it's miracles. Miracles happen every day. We just choose not to see it.
Well, you know, it's but also that's you're talking about unlimiting people, because this whole belief structure that keeps us limited, like we're wrapped in cellophane or something, right?
That's right. That's right. So it's, you know, it's, you know, it's such a neat time, and I, you know, I do manifestation work. You know, I teach people too. You know how to manifest. It, you know, there's that saying. You know, the universe gives you what you the universe doesn't give you what you want. It gives you what you need.
Right.
So, you know, I always
that's from the Rolling Stones.
yeah, give you what. Yeah, exactly. So, I always say to people, you have to ask yourself, is this a fixed belief that I want, or is it something I actually really want? So the old saying, careful what you wish for, because then you're still looking for happiness. So I really kind of work with people saying, let's really define what your dreams and your aspirations are and why you have them, and is this something that was put upon you, or is this something that's internal, or it's from you? And really weeding out the difference, because we can manifest all sorts of things, and then we get mad if something doesn't manifest for ourselves, but then something else ends up being the better thing. It's saying, first you got to ask yourself, what is mine and what isn't mine?
Mm-hmm.
Where is it coming from? Why do I want to manifest this? What is the reasons behind it?
And doesn't it kind of come up in terms of like, sort of action dynamic from inside, doesn't it? It's quite exciting. I love what you're talking about, and we're out of time, but I want everybody who's listening, tune into Becoming Indigo with Tara Taylor and Lorna Nicholson. I'm sorry Lorna wasn't with us today, but give everybody your website too so they can get hold of you.
Sure, they can go to www.taratayler.com. .ca, think Canada.ca, and you can also go, Canadian, eh? And you can also go to throughindigoseyes.com, and that's our main website for the book series.
And, boy,
and you can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Chapters in Indigo in Canada, you know, so any major bookstores, and amazon.com.ca.co.uk, you can get it anywhere.
And are you on any more tours, book signing tours or anything?
Not as yet, as we're coming into the new year. We'll probably be doing a few more interviews coming up, but no book tours as the moment, but I will keep people posted. You can also, when you go and sign up for my newsletter, or through Indigo's Eyes too, if you go to either of the websites, you will see on the one side, I always keep people posted through my newsletter list of what's coming up and what we're doing.
Well, we're looking forward to hearing the next, and I've so enjoyed talking with you, Tara, and I'm sure everybody at home has too.
Thank you. It's been such a blessing, and thank you so much, Veronica, for having me on, and it's been so fun, and can you believe it's already been a year since we chatted? And,
I can't believe that, but anyway.
I know. It just flew.
It's wonderful, and thank you again for your wonderful work. You're just very healing in terms of seeing the greatness in people. I think just even seeing it is a huge gift to people.
Oh, well, thank you, and I know what you do is such a good gift, so, my dear, keep going, keep at it, keep
putting out
your greatness, and keep writing that book, everyone. She's writing a book, so I'm excited to read this. So
you betcha. Take care. Bye-bye. Thank you very much. Many blessings.
Bye.
Well, that was an inspiring visit with Tara Taylor about developing as an intuitive. All of you have that potential. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, tune into my website, veronicaentwistle.com, and let me know what you think of our guest, Tara, or suggestions for other guests that you'd like to hear from, or notice that we podcast the day after these interviews, so you can take it off my site, veronicaentwistle.com. And I want to say thank you so much for listening. Many blessings to all of you. Good night and much love.